Jeff Woods joins us once again. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm good, Mr. Greger. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Interesting topic I want to discuss today that sadly impacts a lot of our listeners, either personally or directly or in their family or something like that. A lot of people suffering from cancer nowadays. And it used to be that doctors would tell cancer patients to rest and avoid activity. But a lot of the current science shows that's actually quite outdated, and that physical activity can help. I know you do a lot of these studying. What are the benefits? How much can it help cancer patients to be active?
Okay, well, a few things here, Jason. A patient should consider the strong evidence in research. It shows physical activity, even in patients who have never exercised before, can expect a huge impact on quality of life and less potential for cancer reoccurrence and a much improved survivorship. So this is interesting, too. No drug on the market can make that claim. So with respect to that, the next consideration for somebody who may be in treatment, if they want to exercise, and they should, what phase of treatment is the patient in? Is the patient in active treatment or recovery? So with that in mind, we have to be cautious as a fitness professional. We have to work closely with the medical team, obviously, but drugs can affect like blood chemistry, lung function, bone density, all of that sort of thing. So obviously the cancer patient's a little bit more vulnerable. So when we're setting up programs, we have to take that all into account. The next component is the patient disease-free or living with a stable cancer? Okay, so in that stage, if that's the case, exercise progressions are actually possible there, okay? And the third thing that we might want to consider, living with advanced cancer. Obviously, this is more critical, and things can change awfully quick, if we're in that stage. But exercise can still improve quality of life for that person. So there's still value in it. And after we've taken all of that into account, just like assessing healthy segments of the population, we go through and we do the evaluation, strength, balance, heart, lung function. And then with the medical team, we put a program together.
Jeff, there was a study I read that suggested people, if you want to limit your chances of getting cancer, that you need to exercise, is it 150 minutes a week? And that will, do you know how much that will decrease your chances of getting cancer?
Yeah, I do. Now, as far as sort of the government projections for even healthy segments of the population, that's kind of the minimum. It's 150 minutes per week. And we can kind of divide that up a few different ways. It could be 21 and a half minutes a day, with less intense exercise, or it could be 5 times 30-minute sessions, a little bit more aggressive as far as the intensity is concerned. But if you can meet that standard with a reasonable intensity, you can improve or reduce your chances by about 50% to having any sort of cancerous potential in your lifetime if you can keep that up. So again, this evidence is very strong. It's very clear. Exercise can sort of put you in a very healthy position through your adult life just by doing that 150 minutes a week.
150 minutes a week. And when we talk exercise for 150 minutes, is it about heart rate, Jeff? And, not just going for a brisk rock. Like, do you have to get your heart rate to a certain level?
Well, again, if we look at the evidence, Jason, in most cases, government agencies prescribe, the word they use is moderate intensity, okay? Now, in reality, if we really want to see results, it has to be more vigorous. It has to be, to really get the results. But here's the kicker. Most people, if they had to work out vigorously, are going to be a little gun-shy and may sort of gravitate away from exercise. So that's why we kind of make the entry level a little bit less daunting by saying, moderate intensity. So, and with a cancer patient, for example, if they're starting on exercise, their progressions and the intensity, obviously, is going to be so much less, Jason, than the individual who might be able to potentially handle more intensity. But if you really want results, if we're talking about the general population, that individual should progress to more vigorous activity given those timelines.
Jeff Woods joins us from Custom Fit. Jeff, going back to those who, you know, who have cancer, are there supplements that they should have through the various stages of treatment to help the workouts?
Well, no. Many cancer experts discourage the use of supplements unless there is a specific individual dietary deficiency.
Okay.
Beyond that, some supplements contain substances that might negatively affect chemotherapy drugs. Okay. So, and if you did have a deficiency as a cancer patient, I mean, and obviously you're on some supplement, you should certainly let your medical team know that as they're putting together your physical activity and dietary plan. So the best line of defense normally, Jason, is this: a strong, well-thought-out plan with a registered dietitian focusing on plant-based carbohydrates and a very nutrient-dense foods, and to stay away from processed foods. And again, the evidence is so clear. This makes such a measurable difference, even for healthy populations, as well as, you know, people that are suffering from cancer, to keep it that way.
You know, it's interesting, the studies on cancer. Is it similar for a lot of the other ones, or is cancer in a completely different boat compared to some of the other long-term health diseases out there when it comes to physical activity?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Jason, again, with exercise, not only cancer, but cancers across the board, in some shape or form, if you're exercising consistently, you are reducing the probability of many cancers. Beyond that, if you're exercising, you're going to reduce your blood pressure, any heart-related diseases. You're going to keep your body composition and cholesterol levels in check. I mean, the list goes unless for exercising. One other thing, and I know how passionate you are about keeping young people moving, and you do a lot of work with your foundation and so on. The one thing, keep kids moving, Jason, if that's the one message I could get across to our listeners, if you can keep them active, like up until their adolescent period of life, that is going to very clearly define a child's adult physical activity patterns up until adolescence. So that's between the ages of, say, 12 to 14. So if they're not very active until that point, there's a strong possibility they're not going to be active through their life. If we can get them there and they stay active through their life, they too will reduce the probability of potential cancers.
So the key for all the parents right now is ensure your kids are in some sort of physical activity, and ideally you should be doing it with them because that'll benefit you as well.
Absolutely. Lead by example. Couldn't agree more.
Now, the physical activity for kids, I know that now with the technology, I hear it's the biggest challenge. Obviously, my young son is not, his physical activity involves me picking him up at this point in his life. But, you know, for a lot of young kids, when it starts 5 and 6, is it, outside, is it just controlled activity, or what do they deem as far as activity for young kids that's going to be beneficial to then translate to what their adult activity level is?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, for kids, their attention span, Jason, obviously is a little bit light. It should be more unstructured play, So whether that's, on a toboggan going down the hill with mom and dad, or if it's kicking a soccer ball around in the backyard, if it's a walk to the park and then making use of the city facilities, monkey bars, things like that. And to make or put the emphasis on fun with family, fun with their friends, it may be more about socialization. That way, I think, we take the stress or the pressure away from them to compete, and they don't feel pressure. It should be sort of something that's voluntary and feels very natural for them. And I think sometimes we can put pressure on young kids, if it is too goal-oriented, and then we've got some issues. It should be, like I say, very unstructured.
Jeff, great stuff, and hopefully a lot of our listeners who maybe have people inflicted with cancer, more importantly, you want to avoid it, 50% decreased chance if you can get 150 minutes a week of physical activity to help you hopefully fight off potential cancer in the future. That in itself is a big reason to do it. Great stuff. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.